Right now, we're going to go on out to Garth Bruin, professor at Fisher College's Criminal Justice School. We're going to talk a bit about the opioid epidemic. Garth, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. And I want to thank you for bringing so much attention to the opioid problem. I spoke to a law enforcement conference last week, and I can tell you from the cop on the beat perspective, the opioid epidemic is real, it's widespread, and unprecedented. It's what they're dealing with in their communities every day.
Yeah, and you know, just like a law enforcement official on the beat, I got to tell you, you know, I ran a treatment program for 20 years, and one of the reasons I got out of running a program was I got tired of the tsunami of opioid-addicted patients with, quote, chronic pain that I spent all day taking off opiates and getting them successfully off. I literally had patients who couldn't walk in, literally tap dancing in front of me after 2 weeks just getting off the opiates, only to see them put back on the opiates by my peers and then dead within a couple of years after that. I got so sick of it. And then because the discipline has picked up this notion that somehow abstinence is some sort of outdated, dangerous way to make people suffer as opposed to adequately treat patients, the whole replacement therapy, replacement has its utility, but it's not a panacea. So we're just going from one thing to the next, Garth. I don't know how you feel about that, but my fear is that the majority of the problem is not illicit. It's by me and my peers.
Oh, I don't disagree. And in talking to the local cops, it's the same story. We have people who get a lawful prescription, and then they slide into addiction, and then they have to show up and give them, you know, a Narcan injection, you know, multiple times sometimes.
Now, of course. And if you're going to, and by the way, it's not just at that point, at the point that they're given the Narcan injection, I promise you there's a benzodiazepine on board in addition to the opiate. Again, as prescribed, whatever. Or the physicians cut them off and say, you're a bad patient. You're an addict. You've been doctor shopping. You've refilled this too many times. Here are three referrals, as opposed to calling them in and saying, you know what? Neither of us intended this, but we've triggered another problem. It's called addiction. Let's get that treated. I almost never see that. Instead, I see them cut off, and guess where they go? Where do they go, Mr. Bruin?
I mean, they're going to go to the streets. They're going to go to their friend's medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
There's always a source.
Yeah.
Here in Massachusetts, the governor has started a fantastic program to limit, you know, to place more controls on the prescription side of things.
What's he done?
My concern is...
What have they done?
It's new legislation. There's a central reporting to make sure that people don't have duplicate prescriptions from multiple doctors. They're eliminating the number of refills that they can get automatically.
That's good.
The Governor Baker and the Attorney General have done a wonderful job in this area. But my concern is that when they start closing these doors, when the controls go into effect, people are going to turn to the Internet, and the Internet's waiting for them. It's just there, just ready to take their money.
Well, but to be fair, the Internet, let's talk about that. That's a really interesting point. Getting pills you're talking about through the Internet, isn't that a bit costly?
It doesn't seem to be. I mean, we're analyzing lots of sites. I mean, you can get, you know, tons of pills from a number of different sites, no prescription, no questions asked. You know, between $50 and $100 for a big bottle, I mean, it's really not that much.
Okay, so that's because traditionally where they've gone is heroin, because that's the cheapest, highest way to go. But you're saying that the pills now will compete with that through these various international pharmacies. Do we have any remedies for that as a government?
Yeah, absolutely. See, the sites that we analyzed in our research report, we found that about 65% of them had their technical infrastructure here in the United States. You know, the sources of the drugs come from overseas, but the Internet service providers that allow these sites to exist are here in the United States.
Wow.
And there's a federal law called the Ryan Haight Act, and it was specifically put in place to, you know, because a young teenager ordered opiates on the Internet without his parents' knowledge and died of an overdose. And so this particular act went into effect in 2009, and two of the critical pieces of it are that as an online pharmacy, you have to display your compliance information in detail on the website, and two, you cannot issue virtual prescriptions, and you cannot sell the drugs without a prescription. So all the sites that we analyzed, over 200 of them, violated the law on both of those counts.